The captain of a ship, gazing into the darkness of night, saw a light in the distance. And immediately he told his signalman to send a message, alter your course 10 degrees south. He promptly received a reply, alter your course 10 degrees north. The furious captain sent another message, alter your course 10 degrees south. I am a captain. And soon another reply was received, I'm Seaman Third Class Jones. The captain sent a final message. Alter your course 10 degrees south. I am a battleship. The reply was, alter your course 10 degrees north. I am a lighthouse. There are times where we need to alter our course. There are times where our course has been changed for us. And there are times where we need to stay the course. The disciples were in a state of discouragement and despair. Scriptures tell us that after Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee, it happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, also known as Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. I'm going out to fish, Simon Peter told them. And they said, we'll go with you. And so they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Did you notice they followed the leader? Seven apostles, Peter and six others, returned to fishing. Their eyes should have been on Jesus. Instead, they followed the lead of Peter. When discouragement comes, it's easy to retreat to the familiar. Peter's life and routine before Jesus called him to come and follow me was predictable and secure. Mend the nets, keep the boat maintained, go fishing, take the catch to market, and repeat. Peter had it all under control, or at least he thought he did. Peter had sinned and denied Jesus. This is a moral failure. What was going on in the lives of the others? There was uncertainty about the future. They needed food, money, and shelter. Jesus had died and was resurrected, but they were unsure of what was going to be coming of the kingdom. Jesus was talking about leaving again. Maybe the circumstances of the world and culture were becoming too difficult for them to handle or to understand. The religious leaders had killed Jesus. They might be next, they thought. Here is an important note. The church was born. It was established by Jesus in a politically and religiously hostile culture. The church has always existed in a hostile culture. It will always exist in a hostile culture until Jesus returns. The judgment is based on this fact, that God's light came into the world, but people loved the darkness more than the light, for their actions were evil. All who do evil hate the light and refuse to go near it for fear that their sins will be exposed. We're told in John 3:19-20, this is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. They were abandoning their mission. They were giving up. At least Peter was giving up. Can you imagine the tension of fishing all night and catching nothing? Cast and pull. Nothing. Cast and pull. Nothing. Cast a little deeper. Nothing. Cast a little shallower. Nothing. Maybe some of the men were asking, whose idea was this? The culture throughout the world is becoming increasingly hostile. Are we going to stay the course? Are we going to complete God's mission? Or are we going to go back fishing? Are we going to say, let's go back to what's comfortable, familiar, and safe? As they may have been saying, whose idea was this? Jesus reached out to them where they were. The scriptures tell us that early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize it was Jesus. He called out to them, friends, haven't you any fish? No, they answered. He said, throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it's the Lord. And as soon as Simon Peter heard him say, it is the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals, there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish you have caught. So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. None of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread, and gave it to them, and did the same thing with the fish. This was how the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. Imagine this. At dawn, Jesus is standing on the beach, but the disciples could not see who he was. And he called out, fellows, have you got any fish? No, they replied. He said, throw your net out on the right hand of the boat, and you will get some. And so they did. And they could not haul in the net because there were so many fish in it. You can see Peter's excitement. His memories are triggered. Then the disciple that Jesus loved said to Peter, it's the Lord. When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his tunic because he had stripped for work. He jumped into the water and he headed to shore. The others stayed in the boat and pulled the loaded net to the shore as they were only about 100 yards from shore. When they got there, they found breakfast waiting for them. Fish was cooking over a charcoal fire, and there was some bread. Now, the miraculous catch took Peter back to the time when Jesus called him to be a part of his mission. And we go back to the book of Luke, chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, and we're reminded of that day. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake at Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and he taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put into deeper water and let down the net for a catch. Simon Peter answered him, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught a thing. But because you say so, I will let down the nets. And when they had done so, they caught such a big, large number of fish that the nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, He fell at Jesus' feet. And he said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of the fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." And so they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. It took Peter back to the place where Jesus had called him to be a fisher of men, a fisher for lost souls. He remembered when he had said, "Master, we worked hard all night and didn't catch a thing. But if you say so, I'll let the nets down again." When Simon Peter realized what had happened, he fell to his knees before Jesus and said, "Oh Lord, please leave me. I'm too much of a sinner to be around you." His partners, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, were also amazed. And Jesus replied to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will be fishing for people." We need to remember the mission that God gave to Richmond Community Church. 80 years ago, in 1937, God led a group to plant a church in this neighborhood. I got to pause here for just a moment. Pastor Val didn't know that I had written this message 3 weeks ago. And I didn't know what Pastor Val was going to preach about last week. But you see how the Holy Spirit set it up? He kind of introduced this subject. The Holy Spirit knew what he wants us to hear. Back to my message. God placed this church like a candle on a lampstand or a lighthouse in the community as a beacon of hope and good news because of the gospel. God already has provided the necessary resources and the people over 80 years to reach out and disciple many people. God gave this body of believers a heart for global outreach and missionary support that's proclaimed the gospel message to untold numbers of people. Well done. Well done. Remember his promise to the Philippian church and to our own Richmond community. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus, we're told in Philippians 1:6. God did not say, 80 days as a church, time up. The assignment is the same. His directives have not changed. Reach people, disciple, teach those reached, repeat. We cannot forget nor forsake our calling. Stay the course. And Peter had another flashback. He was remembering the time of his falling. The charcoal fire was triggering another memory. It was not a good memory. It was around a charcoal fire on the night that Jesus was arrested that Peter denied the Lord. It was cold. The servants and the officials stood around the fire so that they could be kept warm, we're told. Peter also was standing with them, warming himself. Meanwhile, the high priest questioned Jesus about his disciples and teaching. "I have spoke openly to the world," Jesus replied. "I have always taught in the synagogue or at the temple where all the Jews come together. I have said nothing in secret. Why question me? Ask those who have heard me. Surely they know what I have said." When Jesus said this, one of the officials nearby slapped him in the face. "Is this the way you answer the high priest?" he demanded. "If I had said something wrong," Jesus replied, "testify as to what is wrong. But if I spoke the truth, why do you strike me?" And then Annas sent him bound to Caiaphas, the high priest. Meanwhile, Simon Peter was standing near those warming himself. And so they asked, "Aren't you one of his disciples too?" Are you? He denied it, saying, I am not. One of the high priest's servants, a relative to the man whose ear Peter had cut off, challenged him, didn't I see you with him in the garden? And again, Peter denied it. And at that moment, a rooster began to crow. Peter lied, a moral failure. Peter denied. Peter had not forgotten that night. Jesus predicted. Jesus warned Peter it would happen. Peter had replied, Never, Lord. I certainly do not forget the times and the ways that I have failed the Lord and others. And I'm sure that you have not forgotten the times that you may have failed either. Jesus had sought them and found them. And Jesus is here to reach out to the discouraged, the disillusioned, the disoriented, and the disengaged followers of Christ. Jesus is here to reach out to each one of us. And Jesus is here to minister to us as a church body. And John goes on with the story. Jesus said, Bring me some of the fish that you have just caught. So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus did not need Peter's help. Jesus invited Peter to be a part of what he was doing. And Jesus invites us to join with him and what he is undertaking. And Jesus invites Richmond Community Church to be a part of his global mission. Two miracles happened that morning along the lake. There was a huge catch. 153 fish were caught. Their nets were full, and they did not break. Now come and have some breakfast, Jesus said. None of the disciples dared to ask him, Who are you? They knew it was the Lord. Then Jesus served them the bread and the fish. This was the third time Jesus had appeared to his disciples since he was raised from the dead. Smoke was rising from the fire in that cool morning. There was the smell of roasting fish and fresh baked bread. They could hear the sounds of the waves. They did not hear the sounds of Jesus' loving kindness towards all people. He gave his life to save you. He gave his life to save me. He is concerned about the state of your heart. He's concerned about the state of my heart. He cares about your physical needs, food, shelter, clothing. Jesus equally cares about that the lost are reached. Jesus then had a one-on-one with Peter. Scripture tells us that when they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said. You know that I love you. Jesus said, Feed my lambs. And again Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He answered, Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, Take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, Do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, Feed my sheep. Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you were old, you'll stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you don't want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death to which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, Follow me. It's a valid question. Peter abandoned all and left it behind to follow Jesus. Now Peter was abandoning his call to return to his old way of life before being called by God. Return to a life as usual life. Peter, do you love me more than you love these fish? Peter, do you love me more than you love your business, your boats, the nets, the fish? Do you love me more than being in charge of your own life? Jesus asked Peter a second time. Jesus repeated the question, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Yes, Lord, Peter said. You know I love you. Then take care of my sheep. Jesus asked Peter a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter gets a little upset that Jesus asked the question a third time. Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. And Jesus said, then feed my sheep. This was not a negotiation. Jesus always requires obedience. Jesus wanted Peter to see where his heart is. Jesus wanted Peter to go and trust God's will for his life. Jesus was saying to Peter, if you love me, then you will be concerned about what I love and what is important to me. Lost souls, teaching, making disciples of those lost. Obedience is what's needed. And Jesus exposed the heart of Peter's problem. I tell you the truth. When you were young, you were able to do as you liked. You dressed yourself and went wherever you wanted to go. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and others will dress you and take you where you don't want to go. Jesus said this to let him know what kind of death he would glorify God. Then Jesus said to him, follow me. Jesus was saying, Peter, you've been calling the shots. Peter, you've been dressing yourself and doing what you wanted. Peter, you will be dressed in a martyr's cross. True love is getting to the heart of the problem. Jesus was asking Peter to relinquish control of his life. He was asking Peter to let go of the steering wheel and allow the Lord to guide and lead him. I think it's Jonathan Nelson who wrote the chorus, wherever you want me to go, I'll go. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do. Whatever you want me to say, I'll say. I'll do anything that pleases you. Perhaps the only thing harder for prideful humans than humanly wielding power is humbling yielding power. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for Jesus' sake, you will save it. You will find it. Peter was restored. He yielded his will to God's plan. And during the next 40 days, he was filled with the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. And from the day of Pentecost until he was martyred, he lived his life, yielded to God with great passion and fervency. He put the pedal to the metal. And Jesus wants to have a one-on-one with each of us. We are encouraged to ask God to reveal to us our secret sins or behaviors that keep us in bondage. What would Jesus say to you if he was sitting with you on the beach? Where is your heart? On a scale of 1 to 10, how is your devotion? Is it cold? Is it lukewarm? Is it hot? Do you remember that when you were a new Christian and volunteers were needed for a ministry, your hand was the first one to go up? Is that still true today? Or do you look the other way when helpers are needed? Do you take a step backwards or make excuses? Do you say, I'll do it if nobody else will? What are you holding on to? What will you not let go of? What will you not let go of that's keeping the Lord from pouring the full measure of his Holy Spirit through you to minister to others? Jesus wants a one-on-one with Richmond Community Church. Jesus has only revealed pieces of our future. We may not know exactly what the next steps are that he will ask us to take. What is up ahead? We do not know yet. But we are exactly where God wants us to be. Are we going to trust him? His plans for us are perfect. Are we fishing in our own strengths? The apostle fished all night and caught nothing. But that morning they discovered again that Jesus was sovereign over their decisions. The boat, the sea, the fish, and time. The lost need to be reached. It is imperative that we collectively yield to God's will and plan for us. Jesus is Lord of our lives. Jesus is Lord of our service. Jesus is Lord of our future. And Jesus is Lord of Richmond Community Church. The Apostle Paul reminds us once again, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. The same is true for us individually and the church corporately. We show Jesus we love him by loving what Jesus loves. And Jesus loves lost souls, making disciples, teaching the lost reached. Stay on course. Let's go fishing with Jesus.